The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, Howard. After quite a tumultuous and difficult week, believe it or not, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, happy that it is Friday. Happy that I have absolutely no option at 5:07 this evening but to put down my cell phone, get off social media, and disconnect from this mad, mad world that we've seen over the last week. I can't tell you how grateful I am to be obligated to do so.
I join you with that obligation. I think any of us who have been dealing with social media over the last week will be grateful for the 24 plus hours to just tune out and get some downtime and take some really, really strong perspective and very, very necessary me time in order to come back next week fully charged and ready to do battle again.
Absolutely. Can you give us a bit of an overview as to the week that was? Because between 8 o'clock and 9 o'clock here on this show, we're going to be focusing quite intensely on the anti-Semitic behavior on social media, the anti-Israel rhetoric, what we've seen happening over the last week, and raising a concern as to whether, in fact, South African Jews are at greater risk today, Friday, than we were last Friday or the Friday before or the Friday before that. I want to know if the risk is real, if perhaps, as somebody said to me yesterday, that maybe I'm just too involved in this and I'm not seeing the wood for the trees because this is a large part of what I do. Maybe it isn't as bad as I think. Give me your perspective of the week.
Okay, so let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. It has been a difficult week, and my heart actually hurts a lot for Shashi Naidu, and I think that it exposes yet again what you and I, Howard, know to be very, very true, and that is the bully boy tactics of people like BDS and their supporters. And I hear from your contact or your friends saying that maybe you're too involved, this is what you do. Like you, this is a large part of my day, but it has become untenable on social media. In fact, I was saying to you and several others, it is almost like the haters have been given the green light. Just go for it. And we've seen this frightening exponential rise in hate speech on social media. And I know, Howard, over the last couple of months, you've been a victim of hate speech. I've been a victim of hate speech. You know, we get those tweets and we get those messages sent to us. And lucky for people like you and I, we are quite thick-skinned. We know our facts. We know how to argue. Sometimes we argue back using our sense of humor. But for somebody like Shashi, she really is a target for, as you so rightly call them, racist BDS. And they are racist. And this is epidemic in the language that they and their supporters are using. Death threats, rape threats, calling for a second Holocaust, that kind of rhetoric is absolutely racist and it's anti-Semitic. I think that, and it is my hope, and I know that there are many South Africans who are listening who maybe aren't Jewish, I am so hoping that you will join us in using your voice. It is my belief that South Africans fought so long and so hard to put to end a very, very painful racist regime, and then to try and move forward from that. And this takes us decades back. And I appeal to South Africans of all races, of all walks of life, of all creeds, please join us. Stand up to the hate. Just because it doesn't affect your community yet doesn't mean that it should be acceptable on another minority community. This cannot be allowed to flourish in South Africa. And I know that there are many, many South African Jews who are very, very fearful for their safety. And it's very easy for us here in Israel to say, well, go on, just, you know, make Aliyah. We're waiting for you. But I know,
you know what,
that
I have to tell you, I found those comments completely offensive. You know, people commented on my article about Shashi Naidu, the mermaid article that I wrote, and what I found so irritating was when people say, well, it's enough, come home, and if somebody says, you know, I'm I'm elderly, I don't have the money, I can't work in Israel. They're real issues. And they say, well, that sounds like the Jews before the Holocaust in 1933. And I find that so offensive and so irritating. You know, just because you've made the decision to go, and that's great, and I support that, and it's absolutely wonderful. You know, this fear-mongering that people are throwing back at South Africans who are still here, South African Jews who are in the country and who want to be in the country, are found to be absolutely offensive.
Well, I share your sentiment. I'm a big believer that we also need a strong diaspora. We need a strong diaspora to also ensure a strong Israel. Aliyah is not for everybody, and I say this quite openly, and I know I'm probably going to get the SMSs and the emails and whatever, but it's a reality. It's not for everybody, and there are many Jews, just as there are many French Jews, many American Jews, who feel that they identify with the country that they live in, and rightly so. And also, let me just say this, Howard, there is no community like the South African Jewish community. It is strong, it is vibrant, it is cohesive, and long may it continue to thrive in South Africa. And it's a community that throughout its history has given tremendously to the country and truly punched above its weight. So to say everybody should just pack up and make Aliyah, it's not the solution for everybody. And I do hear from those who are elderly and cannot afford to make the move, or to people who have thriving businesses who, for whatever reason, cannot make the move. And I think that it is very, very patronizing to say that to South Africans or to any diaspora Jewish community.
Absolutely, absolutely right. So, Jenny saying, I think we sound like such victims. We need to look at our own day-to-day behavior, do outreach, and move beyond anti-Semitism. What do you think about that?
I think that's a fair statement. Look, I don't think our behavior warrants the kind of rhetoric that is happening on social media and the kind of threats against the community. I don't think that our behavior warrants that, because the language used has nothing to do with behavior and everything to do with the fact that we're Jewish. I think, and I cannot stress this enough, get educated about the facts on the ground in Israel so you know how to answer the lies.
The problem with that is what I find. In fact, and I had the I had this conversation yesterday with somebody on Twitter. It was a response to my article on how the South African government is closing up to Iran, which I happen to think is a very, very significant, very, very significant concern. And the article was published on News 24. They, in fairness to them, tweeted it out. They put it on Facebook. They really pushed it quite hard. And one of the comments, of course, how you get the thing back, well, you know, why are you talking about Iran when you're a part of an Israel lobby who supports the murder of this, blah, 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 blah. And I went back and I kept trying to keep the conversation in context, not even in context, on the subject. Let's talk about Iran. You know, don't make this about Israel. And then literally 3 tweets later, I was being accused of the racist who oppressed our black people here in South Africa. And I said, you know, that is such standard operating procedure by somebody who doesn't want to have a conversation that is a real conversation. The minute you feel you're getting nowhere, suddenly I'm a racist. No amount of calling me a racist is going to make me one. You know,
well, this has happened to me throughout my career. I found that when people start tweeting at you or responding to you with personal attacks, they cannot argue the facts anymore. They are outmaneuvered, outvoted, and outplayed. And so they have to resort to petty insults and calling you a pariah or a racist or whatever. That's happened to me with people like the Media Review Network. I mean, one of the tweets I got recently was that I am one of those racist Zionists masquerading as a journalist, and I'm a baby killer, and I'm all kinds of things.
I've killed so many babies in my time.
They've forgotten that I'm also Occupier Barbie and several other accusations that have been leveled with me. And you know, you and I have the ability to to answer with sarcasm or to answer using humor, but other people like Shashi, as we've seen this week, do not. And we need to continuously expose these people for what they are and call them out on it.
Right.
You've run out
Raleen,
of facts.
I just want to stop you there because
me.
I think I've just received a very important WhatsApp, I think. It's from Bridget. Bridget says as follows. Hi, I often listen to your show as a non-Jew for Middle East news. So that's why. So that's one of the reasons she's listening. She is listening to. Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. It's just moved. Listening to the show to get Middle East news. It strikes me regularly that the Israel-Palestinian strife will not end until both parties stop their eye-to-eye retaliatory responses. The victim-aggressive narrative is played out by both sides, and therefore nothing changes. It's such an interesting comment, and if Bridget, Roland, before you give your comment, I think, Roland, before you give yours, let me just tell you mine, is I happen to think she's 100% right. The problem is what I find in my own experience is I'm being almost robbed, and I use that in inverted commas, of being a humanitarian with regard to Palestinian issues because I'm always being accused of being an oppressor. So it is quite difficult. I believe that the Palestinians are an incredibly oppressed people in areas of Gaza, in the areas of the West Bank. The Palestinian Authority have not allowed an election. Hamas is a disaster for Palestinian rights. And it would be unbelievable if we could get behind that. The problem is we all, and I think Bridget's right, are trapped in a narrative that we can't move out of. Your thoughts, Roland?
Well, I agree with Bridget. It's very frustrating, and especially for us here in Israel as well. I'm going to give you the Israeli perspective that we are constantly thrown into the situation where we have this seemingly never-ending cycle of victim-oppressor. For us, it's much more complicated and nuanced than people would understand, than is perceived, especially by the media. And thank you, Bridget, for tuning into Chai FM to get perspective on the Middle East, because it shows something very, very important. It shows that you're somebody who's looking for alternative sources than to those presented by the mainstream media in South Africa to get some, to make your own kind of informed decision. And I applaud you for that and wish many, many others would follow your example. For us, it's very frustrating. I mean, you know, there's a saying in Israel that we don't really have peace, we just have a break between war or conflagration. And unfortunately, this filters out everywhere. And, you know, if you don't understand the nuances, how would you've just mentioned the situation in Gaza for Hamas, which is extremely, or the situation in Gaza for their citizens, extremely frustrating for us because now we have a situation where they are turning away humanitarian aid because it doesn't serve their political need. But meanwhile, people are suffering. We have this never-ending cycle of media manipulation, which results then in violence, which then filters out to our diaspora communities, and it's very, very
right.
frustrating.
In fact, a couple of more SMSs, a WhatsApp. Hi, this is an interesting one. No, let me go to this one first, because that one's going to require a bit of conversation. Hi, Howard and team. SA cannot afford to lose a single Jew. We've already lost too many. We really need our wonderful Jewish community. That's from Benjamin, who is non-Jewish. Bridget's saying only kindness from both sides applies. It's a tough call for all. I agree with that. So who starts the process of change? It has to be me, an individual, and you and each of us. We are all being played. Break out of the pattern. That's from Bridget. I think Bridget's right, by the way.
I think Bridget's very, very wise.
Absolutely right. And I certainly something to take on board. Here's an interesting one. Hi, I feel for Madam Naidu. I don't know why this is already, that really gets my back up. What would have been the result if Madam Naidu had did the opposite towards the Jewish people? I don't support violence in any way, but why is it that all Israeli sins are kept hidden from the world? Really? They keep saying that they are the chosen people of God and they are the chosen land. And by doing that, they discriminate against all non-Jews. They call them Gentiles and Goyim, etc. Not all Jews are nasty. However, a lot of them are just downright arrogant.
Wow.
Okay, so I mean, you know, that is a study in of itself. I mean, the perspective here is so interesting. Israel's sins are hidden from the world. Okay, so it's obviously it's a religious person.
Well, they're not hidden from us in Israel.
And they're not hidden from the rest of the world either. It's where the problem is when Israel is accused of murdering a baby of 8 months with tear gas, and then it turns out that the family was paid to lie. They were paid, what, 8,000 shekel to lie and say that the baby died from that, where in fact the baby died from a blood disease. These are problems. These are problems. But that's exactly what Bridget is saying. And now can you see we've gone into that pattern? Rolene Marks at 8:01, it is unacceptable that we are late for news, but I could talk to you for hours on the subject. It's a very important one. We do need to continue that conversation. Thank you for your wisdom, for your insight, and you have a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and a peaceful time.